The Disappointing Friend podcast is produced on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We pay respect to elders past and present. We're grateful to share in the act of oral storytelling and community care that has existed within these cultures on these lands for thousands of years. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Hi besties, welcome back to the Disappointing Friend podcast. I'm your host, Juliette Miranda Rowe. In this episode, it's a little bit different to our usual format. Recorded nearly a year ago, Fatuma set this one out so I could have a raw one-on-one conversation with one of my oldest friends, Laura Sabine. We discuss the messiness of our friendship that has spanned over three decades, including how our memory has distorted things, how we have shown up for each other, how we've failed to show up for each other, as well as our Justin Bieber fever. This episode means a lot to me and I hope it lands with you too. But also just a trigger warning before we start that this episode does contain personal conversations about drug addiction and eating disorders. We also speak about it in a very candid way because we've known each other a long time and we're comfortable with each other. And I recognize that it might sound like we are making light of pretty serious topics. We're not. It's just, it is our lives and we're old friends. So I understand, though, if you're not in a place to hear conversations like that right now, or if this is too sensitive a topic for you, please feel free to skip it or come back later. But I wanted to give you a heads up. Enjoy. For context, Laura and I just had some technical difficulties where we were sitting face to face but on opposite sides of a table, but the mic wasn't working on that side. So now we're both on the same side of the table and it feels...
Yeah, it feels really intimate.
It feels weird. There's like a gap between us, but there's no barrier between us.
It feels intimate but distant.
Yeah.
Okay. I had this thing before when I was waiting for you that I was like, "This." You said we were going to talk about our friendship. And I was like, what if I just like dropped like some really huge shit on you about how I feel about our friendship?
I was loving
that. That you've never known. And it's like really crazy.
Laura, I wanted that. There was just a Scorpio full moon. I was like, give me those things. But I also don't want you to say anything that you're not comfortable with. And I also want to reiterate that if you end up not wanting for this to be public at all, we can just delete it.
The only thing we'd have to just take out names.
Yeah. No, I was going to bleep out names.
Names. Bleep.
Yeah. Do you want
to bleep? I was just about to do a funny joke, but I was like, no, you'll have to bleep it out. Can't be bothered.
Do the noise.
What?
Do that bleep.
Oh,
again.
Bleep. Bleep.
I'll use that specifically. Okay. To bleep out people's names. Maybe make a longer one for if anyone has a long surname or something.
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, bleep.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Laura and I is technically one of my oldest friends, but the circumstances of that are unusual.
Yeah, Juliet's qualifying it because she feels we're just not that close. I'm not worthy of the title.
No, technically we are oldest friends, but we forgot that we were friends.
Yeah.
And I think it's an interesting story. And I also think that within our friendship now that has spanned like 25-ish, 27. Oh, wait. No, how old are
30
we?
30 years.
30 years.
More
of
than
friendship.
30 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually,
I forgot
Juliet,
how old we are.
Like
no, I know. I forgot how old we are.
Really old.
Yeah. I forgot.
We are the age of geriatric pregnancies.
No. All right. So sitting with me is Laura Sabine, who's technically one of my oldest friends, but we kind of forgot that we were friends because we knew each other when we were really young. And then as fate would have it, we drifted back into each other's lives and we've drifted in and out over the past 30 years.
That was a really good summarization, but I do prefer the one from before.
Well, I'll keep the other one.
Yeah, it was good banter.
I'll keep the other one. I feel like when we tell this story, we should actually start with 16.
Well, you can start it if you want to, because for 16, in my mind, I'm like, I don't really even... Oh, no, I did know you.
No, because as much as I say we're oldest friends...
Yes.
We take it back to 2006. And to me in 2006, Laura Sabine is just some girl
that I had seen around Flinders Street or at punk gigs, or that I knew people who knew her, but we didn't know each other. Yeah. I knew at one point, was it you that had Alice in Chains shaved into the side of your head?
AIC.
Yeah. We were just a couple of inner city girls. We did not know that we'd known each other when we were little kids. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't remember that we'd known each other when we were little kids. I was really happy being an observer.
Me too.
Yeah. So I was very much for someone who was like, people don't know me. I come to parties and I have my sketchbook and I draw pictures, or I had my digital SLR and I used to take photos. I was very much thought I was like a supporting character. And at the time, I think I was like satisfied feeling like a supporting character in certain circumstances. So I definitely did not think that you knew who I was, but I knew your full name for some reason.
That's because that's what I went by.
Enter Gideon. Now Gideon and I had known each other since kindergarten. Laura and Bleep had known each other since kindergarten. How peculiar.
We were like best friends in kindergarten, that's why.
Interesting. Bleep. And I then start hosting our birthday parties at the same time. Our sweet 16 birthday, November 2000.
Oh my God. Oh shit, I forgot that was your birthday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so November 2005. November 2005, Juliet's sweet 16 joint birthday party. We had gotten bands to play, and so we'd bought the bands a slab of beer. And this slab of beer, you look so uncomfortable. I thought this was going to be funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
This slab of beer gets stolen, and all I hear is that Laura Sabine has stolen this slab. And I'm like, Laura Sabine? That bitch with Alice in Chains shaved in her head. Like, why was she even at my party? I don't think we ever like had a conversation about this. Like, I don't, like, once again, I don't think we met.
Like
even.
I just said, totally forgot it was
totally. Then I find out that it wasn't actually just Laura.
What are we thinking? Is like, Scarlet it was a letter. Group of boys and Laura Sabine.
Boys steal beer and Laura Sabine, and Laura Sabine gets blamed. Mm-hmm. So I go into the year 2006 thinking, fuck that Laura Sabine. And I would see her on the tram, or I'd see her around and be like, that bitch stole a slab of beer for my birthday party. Meanwhile, she's like, I don't even know who that person is.
Like I said, I forgot it was your party. What? I paid you back. And like,
oh my God.
I was the person that was solely held responsible and accountable for that action.
Was that because you brought bleep? Oh, though?
Yeah, but it's like, oh my God, like, hello. Like, it's bleep. As if he wasn't welcome. As if they weren't welcome. Yeah, no, I think it was I was the person that was invited.
Yeah.
Like I was actually invited.
I didn't know you. Maybe I did know you paid. It was literally 20 years ago.
So. I know. And it was literally for a slab of beer. Like.
I know. But this is the things when you're 15.
No, it was naughty and bad. And like, I feel like I got scapegoated with the whole thing.
100%.
Sorry.
Well, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Okay, enter 2008. I go to art school with someone who went to high school with you. Anyway, no, I literally remember the day I think that you first came in to visit our studio.
I spent a lot of time in there first semester, first year uni.
I think we would have met by then before you coming into
Definitely.
Uni. Yeah. I don't know where, but at some point in 2007.
We met you at your bloody birthday anyway. Like we met, we just didn't.
We just were around the traps.
Yeah.
Just teenage dirtbags. But yeah, I remember you coming, used to come in to visit our studio. And I feel like one day you and Eloise came in and I think you were just being
For the
really
readers listening at home, Eloise Grills is a horrible person. And we hate her vehemently.
Lol. No, correction. She's actually a dear friend. in case anyone can't pick up the sarcasm. I think it was also the time. It was like in 2008, this wasn't a specific thing you did, but it was like people used to make fun of us like having moleskin diaries. Be like, oh, you're going to draw in your moleskin. And it'd be like, well, yeah, I am going to go draw in my moleskin diary. And it wasn't just you. It was lots of people at the time. But I remember this one day, both of you guys had come in and you were giving us that kind of attitude. And I think you also had Freddo frogs maybe. And for some reason, I got really annoyed that you'd like left the wrapper of this Freddo frog in our studio. And I just remember being like, I hate them. Being really annoyed at you. And I was like, this bitch. But at some point we became friends.
That just reminded me of another story that's nothing to do with anything. But like, do you remember that time when you kept winning free Big Truck Bickies? Magnum ice cream.
Oh yeah.
And you were like and you said the promotion is running out today, so you had to keep going back and getting it. And then I think you realized that you'd read the date wrong and it was actually like a month left.
Yeah.
But you had like six.
I had six in a day.
Yeah. It was so exciting.
I mean, to contextualize this, if you weren't aware of Big Choc Bickies, they're an amazing Magnum ice
that
cream.
That is psychotic, you even have to say that. Like it was just like that was an iconic Magnum flavor.
Clearly it was iconic for me. But it was literally like, you eat the Magnum and the stick says, you've won another big Chuck Bickey. And I one day won six in a day because I thought that was the day that the promotion was running out. Did that annoy you? Did it annoy you that day? You were like, Julia keeps winning these fucking ice cubes and she's not giving them to anyone.
I don't think that's something you would do. I think honestly, people probably said they didn't want them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't think you like were not offering them to people. I'm sure you did.
You just remembered.
But probably people were like, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And then you were like, well, it's up to me. No, what was going on for me for that day? Because right now I'm just like, can't even fathom why I would say no to a Big Truck Vicky. but that's because now they don't exist. So I'm like, what a disgusting thing to do.
That's really the metaphor of the entire show is that you should need to appreciate things while you have them.
Absolutely.
Because Big Chuck Bickies, one day they'll be gone. Do you have any consciousness of a day when we actually like became friends? Because I feel like it was like you were coming in to visit and then at some point we were friends.
I know. And some point then you and I became closer friends and I was with Lee.
So but that's always, I reckon that's mostly because we live near geography. Each other.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. I would say late teens.
All right. So 18, 19, 20, we become friends at some point. Yeah. And pretty close friends would hang out a lot.
There was a summer where we spent every single day together.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. An annoying amount when we could tell that other people were really irritated by us two and two other people.
I had a long distance boyfriend who came and stayed with me for 3 months. And when I was still living with my parents and Juliet came over every single day and we spent every single day together. It was crazy.
It was fun, but was, definitely like there are a few occasions where we'd be with other people and because we had so many inside jokes, it was like, oh, I can feel how annoyed other people are by us.
Yeah. I got really bad eating disorder after you left, so.
Do you think, mic drop, in looking back, do you think that relationship ending, like maybe the eating disorder development, is that kind of like the beginning of distancing with certain relationships?
So many.
That's kind of like the beginning of
Well, tests. It was the beginning of my breakdown.
Yeah, okay.
And that really cost me a lot of friendships.
Yeah, because I remember. No, I just wanted to pause.
Yeah.
You got to pause. Yeah, dancing is also the stillness, not just the movement.
So true.
You've got to have pauses. That's also like,
if you don't stop and look around once in a while.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. Ferris Bueller.
It's still silly of me to bring that back to relationships, but I think that that's true. I think that's why.
What is it about relationships?
Like having pauses and distances in relationships is also important. Because I think that.
Absolutely.
Pause. Well, particularly if people can't learn how to regulate your like emotions in a healthy way, which I think when we were younger, a lot of us had like really unhealthy.
Why on earth you said, I think, is like.
I don't know. I'm trying to be gentle.
Yeah.
Trying to be gentle and Because I remember you getting.
We were trolls.
Really unwell. And I remember I was in, who knows what year it was, but it was like a stressful year.
Third year.
Yeah, okay.
Or honours, actually. It could have been honours. It was
Was it? When did we find out about kinder? Which we should have really known back when we were 16 because me and Laura both knew that we had gone to kinder with Bleep.
Yeah.
So we should have worked it out then. But
I think we knew. We probably knew that, but we didn't know we were friends because what had been discovered.
True. Was that photographs. We were good friends.
It was photographs of Juliet like sitting next to me at a birthday.
Not just at out the my birthday. When you go to kinder and you get the kinder book. We each have photos at the end of our kinder books where it's us with the other one. And your mum was like, yeah, you guys were really good friends and you told the photographer that you wanted pictures of each other in your books.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Regardless, we're being chummy in our early 20s and we find out that not only do we go to kinder together, but that we were very good friends. There's pictures of us at each other's fifth birthday. And this was strange because I do remember having a close friend in kinder, but I had not put two and two together that it being you.
What do you mean you remember having a close friend in kinder?
I went into kinder with two boys that I'd also done playgroup with.
Okay.
And then I also went to primary school with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, I remember that there was a girl. And this is important because when I got to primary school, female friendships were really difficult for me. So, but I had this concept of like, no, but I had this female friend.
This was me, at Julia. Kinder. This is really special. Yeah.
No, but I also remember this. One of the memories I have of the female friend from kinder who we now know as you is that I did famously like find a toy or something at kinder.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
I found something at kinder that I then took home and that you or the female friend was like, you shouldn't have done that. You should hand it in. Like, that's stealing. And I had a guilt dream that a judge was sending me to jail, and I took it back, put it in the same spot I'd found it, and then told a teacher. So you've been keeping me honest.
What percentage rate do you believe that to be me?
Like 99%.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But also, like, who knows?
No, I am a very, very guilt, shame driven.
You have a
person.
Capricorn moon.
Mm. Yeah.
My mum was like, I thought that you knew that she was the girl from kinder. Yeah. Because I was like, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, oh, I thought you guys were like aware of that. And like, you'd been friends all these years. I feel like that was like really exciting. And it was like,
so exciting.
Yeah. We like a solidifying moment. I don't know. I guess it made it special. Made it feel
really
more special.
It was really special. And it was fun. And I think, and it was also like, because we already had the geographical that thing that was not only tied us like in terms of, because we're lazy and we don't want to leave the area.
Please don't say, oh, we're lazy, because I absolutely leave the area for people and I want that to be on record. So you can say you're lazy.
I am still lazy for the record. Thai is not only good because it's convenient for travel, but it's also because it informs your identity and what your references. Yeah. Not only do we have the history of growing up in that area, but then we add to that that we actually have a shared history together in that area. And you know what? I now live very close to our primary school. I mean, kindergarten. And I see it all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think about you. I think about I think about how I made my soft toy frog have sex with a Barbie there, and it made, and I was so shamed by that story up until probably like 33 years ago.
Oh my God.
I mean, wait. up until probably like
33 minutes ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was in my 30s. Probably by the time I felt like comfortable even processing that shame and to even talk about it.
Oh, baby.
So.
In 2011, is that the year that we saw Justin Bieber?
Yeah, it's the year we turned 22.
Yeah. So I would say that's like a pinnacle of particular friendship for us because of that period. Yeah. Because we
absolutely.
Got Bieber fever.
I love you, Juliet. Like, literally it was because you saying that made me go, I love you, Juliet. Mm. And not that I don't feel like that, but it really... really
you're like, whoa, yeah.
Like that feeling of love literally filled in me.
I respect that. That's beautiful. We got Bieber fever. We saw his movie a bunch of times. I think also a lot of people in our lives thought it was ironic that we were getting into Justin Bieber.
Absolutely.
But we were like, this music actually is great.
And people
and
still are giving
we're charmed
me side
by
eye.
The story.
People still give me side eye about it, like as though I was into him.
Yeah, we didn't love Justin Bieber like we wanted to
I
marry him. He
thought,
was 17
we
and we were 21. We
well,
thought he was
I even
talented.
I thought he was like 12.
Yeah.
Like I really thought he was a child. It really wasn't about that. It was like you see that documentary and you really see that talented boy.
Yeah, we were charmed by and also I think both of us really enjoy hype.
Yeah
so we got caught up in the hype and we ended up spending about $500 on scalp tickets to the nosebleed section.
Not even good tickets, like they just were, it was sold out. So
yeah, we bought them off of Mum on Gumtree,
yeah,
who went every night to his show at Rod Laver Arena, and I think she ended up meeting him.
What?
Yeah, because when we bought them off her, she was telling us how she met him the night before for some reason. I have no idea.
Why was
idea.
She selling them?
She'd obviously just bought a shitload of tickets and was like a sneaky...
Oh, she was doing it to make money.
Yeah she's being sneaky. I mean, yeah, I shouldn't say she's sneaky.
It is sneaky, but
power
sneaky
to her.
Can be sneaky can be good.
Yeah.
Sneaky sound system.
They are. That is a good version of sneaky.
Good.
I also think us talking about the Justin Bieber things is just demonstrating maybe how crazy we were at that period where it's like that our teenage years have ended. We're 21 to we're turning 22 kind of age, like on the precipice of adulthood.
Yeah.
And as you said before, you were struggling with an eating disorder.
Yeah.
My grandma had died, and my mum's a close family friend took her own life in the same year. And I remember at the time, because I was in my third year of uni and we were that age. Yeah, fourth year of uni. Those felt really like, even though my grandma died at like 90 something, she was old. She'd been dying my entire life. Like my mum had been caring for her since I was a child. I don't want to say it wasn't a tragic death. Felt like a profound loss. And I think even having our family friend die, she was my mum's single lady friend. Mm. And I think at the time, I still think about her now, but I think at the time, because I was still getting used to this idea of how single and I felt as a person, like I really didn't see myself like relationships, I guess, in my future. And that was maybe a self-fulfilling prophecy. That situation like probably shook me more than I thought. And I felt a lot of guilt for not being a better daughter for my mom while she was grieving both of those relationships. And then I was also at uni struggling just with normal stuff there. And I remember, yeah, I remember like that Bieber moment being this kind of last, maybe it's like a holding on to childhood as well.
We both said, we were like, when we're 21, like we're never going to have disposable income like this to just be like
yes.
throwing away like $600 yeah. on going to see Justin Bieber, because which is obviously like an idea that, okay, we're going to become adults soon.
Yeah.
So we're going to have proper bills. So we can't be this little children who get like, in this, like we would get hysterical.
Yeah.
I would love that. We would get so hysterical.
We saw that movie 3 times, yeah. like on 3D, in 3D. Yeah. yeah.
Like we just get so hysterical and like riled up. And that was such a fun, you know, and then both of us are maybe not having super fun times.
100%.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
And also being like on this precipice of like young adulthood / real adulthood or whatever that even means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaving childhood things behind.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Because I remember us even being at the concert and having this like, whoa.
Yes, it was an incredible show.
Oh, it was amazing. But it also because incredible. We saw the movie so many times, I find it hard to differentiate between what we saw in real life and the movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't get him floating on the...
Yes, we did.
We didn't. He didn't got him do on
the
it.
Love heart. He came up.
Babes, he didn't come up on the love heart.
Yeah, he did. It came out of the stage. There was a love heart.
All right, maybe. But did it float across the crowd?
It didn't float across the crowd.
But that's what it does in the movie.
Okay.
It floats across the crowd.
I think it came out of the stage, out of the...
Yeah, I think you're right. It come up out of the stage at ours. Yeah. If Justin Bieber is a peak, what do you see as like the valleys? Give us a valley.
Okay.
I'm putting you on the spot as well.
Yeah, I know, but I'm feeling like, okay. But it has to... This is like a personal thing, right? So it doesn't mean I'm being like, this is you like doing something. Cause I know, I remember when we came after a time of not being really close, we came back together and we talked about a little bit of some difficult things. And I feel like we had different perspectives on it.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that I was like, okay, maybe I might have lumped you into how some other people may have like
treated you.
And then I'm thinking about like, but this is one thing in my mind, but I feel like this was like meaningful in terms of my own development, not necessarily. I guess I'm just saying this so you know that I'm not being like, oh, you behave badly or whatever.
Yeah, it's how but you perceive it.
This was like one night I remember I was like, this was when my eating disorder was just starting. No one knew about it.
Yeah.
And it was just getting progressively worse. And I'd had a fight with my parents. Like I couldn't even fathom eating steamed broccoli. And I just didn't want to be there. So I went over to your house and I was like, can I stay over? And it wasn't really something I would do.
No.
Have a sleepover. And you must have been busy with school stuff, or like you were doing school stuff on the computer, or maybe watching Gossip Girl or something. And yeah. I think in my mind, I was just like, I wanted to be like, you have a friend here to talk to me, to confess to you what has been going on for me and to help me, because I didn't know what was happening to me.
Yeah.
And then I remember just feeling like, you're not, like, you don't.
I wasn't being present.
Being present. And yeah. I felt like I was that you weren't open to it, and I'd be burdening you and all of this shit.
Yeah.
And I remember that really, I must have.
No,
really,
you really hurt. You left. I remember you leaving.
I must have really valued your friendship in terms to be like thinking that you were someone I could share with.
Yeah.
And then must have, but also been feeling really, obviously very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And like, and having issues with my parents, I guess, who, although I've had lots of issues with at different times, at times where I'm not having issues with, I'm incredibly close with them.
Yeah.
So I felt very, very like let down, and in a way like I had nobody. To me, it like signaled a turning point, which I think is false. When I went through that period of the eating disorder, I attributed to being turning points, but I think it's like just your brain doing storytelling.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I was like, that was a turning point where you could have saved me.
Yeah.
Like you could have saved my life or something. Like, but I'm like, as if though.
Yeah.
Like it's not true.
Yeah.
But it's like.
You create stories.
But you create stories to like make sense around times that are really, it's difficult when you're feeling out of control.
Yeah.
So that to me would obviously be a valley.
Well, because I remember that night really well.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have friends at my house. No. I have a big family in a small house. We fight a lot. And when I was that young, I was really ashamed of like my family dynamic. It made for a really undesirable living environment. And I really didn't have like friends sleeping over. That wasn't a thing. That wasn't something I was doing a lot of.
Oh, yeah, no, I was including that in it.
To be
in terms of it wasn't, I said it like it was a big, like it was a different thing for our friendship.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
to be like, hey, I need to be.
Yeah. Sorry. I've also gone straight into storytelling. I want to validate that I can understand your perspective with that. I could feel that you needed more and that you wanted presence. I felt like I was like going through like a lot of internal bullshit, and that at the time I found it hard showing up for people in ways when they were needing me, because I myself found it really hard to ask for help. So I think I very much like went into a bit of a mode, oh, I'm sorry that you're fighting with your fucking nice parents. And like, I don't think I said that to you, but I think that's what I was feeling at the time. You have a pretty good relationship with your parents. And like I'm saying, like at the time, as like a 20-year-old, it felt like you were being selfish with your own stuff that you were going through and unaware that the rest of us had our own shit that was going on. When I look back on it now, not even look back on it, I was aware of it at the time. Like I remember you leaving and being like, Juliet, you know what you actually should have done in that scenario. I just was bitter. Yeah, probably just feeling like bitter that I didn't feel like I could talk to anyone about whatever was going on in my own mental health, and probably like resentful of anyone who had the courage to express it. And I think that's...
Well, I didn't, but...
But I think mean, that I you did, just even saying, you coming to my house and like actively saying leave. You needed, yeah, you needed me. That takes courage.
I know.
That I'm like really sorry, guy. Just was too...
Juliet, you're courageous as fuck. Right now, can I tell you, I appreciate you right now so much, because we have talked about this before, but you haven't really spoken about your feelings. You just talked about the facts of the people didn't come stay at my house, which I think are all true.
Yeah.
As well, but you haven't talked about you being aware of
I was super, yeah.
And anything like that. Yeah. It's just more being like, oh, yeah, so I really, and how that made you feel, or things like that. And I really appreciate that. It makes me feel like, I don't know, I think I always just felt embarrassed. And I feel like less embarrassed. And I feel like, because I totally get you and understand that. I just thought, I'm like, no one cares. No one cares, or no one is there. Because also, like, I just thought we were all just too
cynical.
Too cynical, yeah, too stunted emotionally to be able to deal with anything. That's what I group it into. I was just like, my friends who I used to have really closeness with, now my issues are too...
My problems are too big for them.
My problems are too big for them to deal with.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were one of those people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'm not looking to that person to be someone I can count on in a friendship. No.
I think at that age, it wasn't, oh, I feel terrible that I can't be there for my friend. Mm-hmm. It was also a resentment of, well, this friend can't actually be there for me either. Yeah, I think that's how I justified it to myself at the time. I should have been better in this scenario. This goes back to the courage thing, because there were plenty of scenarios where I left my house after like an argument with someone and did not go to anyone's house to try and sleep over. Yeah, I guess it was resentment. I resent that this person has the gall to actually
it's
like...
It's just wild to me to find this out.
And like, also,
I wouldn't have thought you even thought about it.
I won't say I hate it, except I need to be that person to be who I am now. But it's as someone now who has had people very much make me feel like I'm too much for them, I'm sorry. At the time, I didn't. The thing is, I went against my own like gut instincts. I think that's what pisses me off. It's like, even at the time, I was like, you know, you should reach out in this way, or you should have said that, you should have done this. I think I also probably had just gone into a bit of shutdown of like, I just want this person to leave before some sort of incident here that makes me feel really uncomfortable.
I think that really and makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I did feel, I feel, it's very insightful also for me to hear this stuff. In a nutshell, get over it, bitch.
Yeah. Like, we had a friend who famously said, get over it, bitch, to Laura about something quite traumatic.
Yeah, I will never get over it, bitch.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I've talked about this like with a friend recently who's been through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and we're both talking about how the things that we've been through, the traumas in inverted commas, are nothing compared to how we were treated by people afterwards.
Yeah.
And that is what has damaged us, you know?
No.
Well, much more than the actual, not saying that the incidents, the traumas aren't bad, but it is the how people treated us afterwards that turned the traumas into PTSD.
I think of it as the bystander effect. I mean, I think we've spoken about this since, but it's like a lot of the things that happened, I felt like as a community, we were witnessing someone we love on a very obvious downwards spiral and not doing enough as friends and community to like, I don't know, assist. And I felt like, yeah, I was in a bystander effect moment where people on some level like frozen, like by it, or we didn't know how to react. But I also think there was a lot of what I just said before. I think it was resentment. I think it was people quite literally being like, she can sort herself out like the way the rest of us sort ourselves out.
And that's absolutely, by the way, an attitude I would have had as well. it's like I would never have been putting, I would never have been such an open wound, such a, you know, out there vulnerable, like this vulnerable thing, if I hadn't been literally forced into it through a breakdown, you know?
Yeah.
Like I would never, and that's the thing, it's like Brené Brown saying, like, you know, you can't, if you don't have compassion for yourself, you can't really have compassion for other people. You know, I didn't have compassion for myself, so I don't think that I would have compassion for others. And I think through, really through going through what I've been through is like how that creates, and I'm, but I'm still working on it daily.
100%.
To be able to have, you know.
I'm having these memories. Okay, so one of them is that like I literally remember you, it would be like we were meant to be hanging out or something, and you would just be like, nah, I can't be bothered like getting out of bed, or I think, yes. So it was
yeah, it's also a time where I stopped showing up to be,
yeah, and I literally remember coming to your house a few times and quite literally like pulling the blanket off you, because you'd be like, oh yeah, I guess I'm okay to hang out, but like I can't really bother getting out of bed. And I remember being conscious of like, all right, this person's going through something, but I refuse to like let them think that that means that we're not friends or something.
Yeah.
I remember Clean Facebooking me from Canada and being sorry, like Facebook, direct messaging me on Facebook or whatever, Facebooking me from Canada and being like, Juliet, I'm really worried about Laura. Basically being like, can you give her some like extra attention? I think at the time I was like, I've done as much as I can. I probably just should have said to you like, hey, I'm really worried about you. But I think at the time I was very much more, I'll do actions. So it was, I'm going to keep inviting you to things. I'm going to come to your house and quite literally like force myself into watch TV in bed with you. That was me thinking I'm doing as much as I can. And like also just keep reaching out to you.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of was even more resentful of it. The fact that you had this person who loved you so much on the other side of the world checking in on you. Cause I was like, fuck, anytime I've been going through things, the people around me don't even notice. And also it's not anyone else's, you know, job to notice all of those little things. I recognize that now, but it was like, oh, this person has all these people that care about her and it's not enough. And I think, and this, I want to think about this now, I'm like, Juliet, that's so crazy. But I feel like when you got hospitalized, I remember feeling really hurt that I was like the last to know about the anorexia. Like I remember being like, I can't believe she didn't tell me about this anorexia.
I remember being shocked that like you didn't realize. I remember like somebody saying, oh no, your mum asked you about me being so thin, and you were like, oh, Laura's always like that, like we eat the same amount, like she just has a tapeworm, like a joke thing.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm like, is Juliet insane? I'm like, I've obviously like I was thin, but I went from being like thin reasonable to being severely anorexic very quickly.
But I think that was also just me having other friends, like, to be honest, as someone who is clinically fat, or I actually consider all of my friends to have eating disorders.
Yeah.
So I think at the time I was just really good at being like, I guess I was just, you know, playing pretend.
But I was not like that.
No, you
before.
Were, you had, yeah.
Like
you
I didn't have any drastically lost. Before. Like I went from really not having any issue with food to being severely anorexic, like very quickly.
Yeah.
But I was a thin person.
Yeah.
Like at that time in my life, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I was naturally, inverted commas, very, like quite thin.
And then got thinner.
But it just, so it was like, it is in a way for me to go from being thin to like a skeleton was not.
Was drastic,
but also not, didn't take a long time. I remember it went from being like the next year I was like really open about it, because I was like, when I was sick the next year, I wasn't hiding anything.
No, you were very open.
Because I was like hanging out with people. I remember hanging out and I just wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't care. I'm just not doing this anymore. I think it's good to people to be supportive and stuff, but sometimes I'm like, I wish people would call me out on my shit a bit more.
Yeah.
I'm like, but also I can't expect people, like I just said that to you about the tapeworm thingy, but now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, actually it is reasonable that you wouldn't have noticed it or think that it's, you saying that I'm naturally thin or whatever, and that's like, there isn't any difference there, actually isn't crazy thing to say, because I was, before the eating disorder, I was quite thin.
But it's not even the thinness. It's also, you have to take our personalities to an account. I have this memory of a friend of mine at 21 starts dating a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
And I was friends with both of them. So I was kind of like, oh, whatever. And you were really judgmental. You were like, that's really weird. What the fuck? And I was like, it's their relationship. They can do what they want. They're both adults. And I remember you just like, were like a dog with a bone with it, and were really trying to make me fight with you. And I think I stormed out of your house. And then when we spoke about it another time, you were like, because I wanted you to fight with me. I wanted you to yell at me. I wanted you to argue. For me, I was like, I don't want to be like that with my friends because I already have arguing, yelling, screaming home life. I don't want to be out in the world screaming at my friends. I'd much rather be like, okay, we just have a difference of opinion. So it might have also been that thing where like, even if I was aware that you had an eating disorder, I didn't know how to be like, yeah. I think you have this, because I don't know that you would have reacted in a way where it would be like, thank you for noticing.
Oh, no,
going through things.
Just,
you would have been
no,
like,
no, absolutely not. No, no, me saying, I wish people called me out on my shit, is not me saying that that would have, I would have responded well.
Yeah.
It's just me saying like, I remember retrospect. Even like, I remember seeing Eloise and talking to her later and being like, why, you being like one of my oldest, you know, closest friends, like, why would you not have said something to me?
Yeah.
Like, didn't you think, because I remember Bleep. Saying something, being like, what the hell? And she was someone I hadn't seen in a while, wasn't necessarily that close with anymore.
Yeah.
But like, and I think Eloise was like, oh, I don't know, I thought maybe it was medication you were taking. Mm. And I just was like, really didn't want to make, it was just awkward, I didn't want to make you feel bad.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, fuck you, a little yeah. bit. Literally like, sorry, Eloise. Maybe if it was that, but you don't know that it was that, and maybe you...
Yeah.
Like, but I get that we didn't have those styles with each other, and that's absolutely...
Well,
like,
we were just all really insecure.
Like, yeah, to be like, hey, you are looking like a crazy skeleton. What's going on?
Yeah.
And, but I don't know. Like, honestly, everyone figures their shit out in their own time. And the idea that, like, people would force me to do something or, like, you know, is makes me... I'm so against that. I'm so against people, like... The idea of like forced hospitalization, I think, is like the most revolting thing I've ever heard of. Like,
but I also think that if we had maybe at the time been like, hey,
yeah,
we love you. That's the thing. Because I think about my own like delves into mental health crisis, and I'm like, I didn't need people to tell me I was being crazy. I needed people to reaffirm to me that like they loved me, they yeah. cared about me, and that they were concerned for my well-being.
Yes.
And that like then, you know, like I didn't need them to come to me with solutions or like no, yeah. pointing out what they think was wrong. Even just being yes. like, I am worried about you and like, I love you.
It's about acknowledging things as well, where I'm like, it's not, secrets keep you sick.
Yeah.
And that's such a big thing, especially in like the eating disorder world. So I feel like you, the tapeworm thing, Eloise not saying something is medication. Like, do you think I hated those things? I loved those things. Because
right.
I was like, oh my God, this is letting me live stealth.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, oh yeah, I could be this thin just naturally. Oh, I could. Oh, maybe it is my medication, you know? It's like living in the lie.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved that stuff. That really validated me.
Yeah.
So I think that it's more about like, it would have been good for me to have like things I hated was I remember Bleep came to Australia. Like he made comments about my legs being really thin.
Mm.
He's like, what's your thinspiration?
Ooh.
And or something like that. And I remember like that make, I remember just hating that. And it really.
That he commented on your body.
He commented on my body. Things like that would make me feel very anxious and unhappy and unsafe because it was exposing that there was something that there was changes in my body
right.
and that there was some
that
kind
it wasn't
of,
natural
that
and
that it wasn't natural yeah. and that like, you know, that kind of thing. So it was like, I don't know, when people are kind of, you want to make them comfortable and not like upset them.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's like you do need some kind of destabilization, some upsetting there. So people...
To bring it into reality.
To bring it into the reality yeah. So you're not living in the fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, definitely. Because yeah. I definitely remember at the time wishing that I had said... more
yeah.
like I said I had the
I see someone looking unhealthy who's a friend of mine now like I won't be an asshole
no
but
like,
if I can I do want to say something
yeah well it's interesting you bring that up because when we reconnected in our late 20s as friends and we were seeing each other pretty regularly we did have a lot of conversations of being back I had remorse on my behavior in a lot of those or like lack of follow through on my own sort of intuition. And it's interesting because then over the pandemic, I remember having a lot of remorse about the 2019 friendship we had where we reconnected because we were seeing each other pretty regularly. And I remember thinking, and we haven't gotten into this and we also are running out of time,
yeah.
but I remember thinking that you were using again and having it in my mind, just ask if she's using again. Just be like, hey, I don't want to judge you. I want you to know that I can see your behavior. And do you want to talk about that? It had been such a thing
yeah.
that you weren't using.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we were doing a dance class together. So it's like you would, you know, stop showing up to class. And I remember thinking like, I really just want to pull her up on this. But I remember in the pandemic being like, I should have fucking spoken to Laura about that.
Yeah.
And didn't. And
spoiler alert, everybody, I was using.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, you're so right to make a connection here. And it's so funny. Like, the smile on my face and the redness in my cheeks is the same as I would have had when I was younger and wanting to keep my eating disorder. I'm like, oh, shit, now we're talking about this. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to validate that, yes, this is the same thing.
Yeah.
And, yes, saying, like, okay, you're looking thin, what's up is the same thing as saying, hey, are you using, what's yeah. up? But, like, because the eating disorder is such in my past, I don't feel threatened by that. But the using is, like, not such yeah. in my past that I'm like, oh, shit, that threatens me. Because it threatens its existence if it's something I'm not living and, like, embracing, like, because – I feel differently about drug use than I do about an eating disorder. To me, an eating disorder offers nothing but, like, negative things. Mm. But I feel like drug use can have positive, you know, contribute positive things to my life. So I'm not always of the feeling like I don't want to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, recently, like, I have spoken with you, Juliet, and I have mentioned that I haven't want to be
yeah.
anymore. So, yeah. like, obviously, like, if I'm still struggling with that, it is, like, a thing where I'm like, yes, bringing that to the front is definitely in, I know it's for good friendship vibes.
Well, no, it's because when you brought up recently that you were like, I'm trying to be sober and not using. I remember having the thought in my mind, like, oh, will this time around, like, if I think that you're using again, will I actually have the courage to, like, say something?
Yeah.
Because I remember having, like, this urge in 2019. I was like, you guys have had a really good year this year. You know, I feel like we built a lot of bridges within our relationship. And I was really disappointed in myself. I couldn't find the balls, for lack of a better word, going into the pandemic as yeah. well. It's like, maybe if I had made a better effort in 2019, like, things could have been different. You know, we're all adults. I do feel like my friends are my responsibility.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously when people fall into certain situations, I do feel a level of disappointment in myself for, like, not being able to, I don't want to say, like, save people, because I don't think yeah. I have a savior complex, but I just mean, like, oh, if you feel an urge to, like, offer love to someone,
way, yeah,
and you don't, then I'm disappointed.
So I'm thinking about that, and what I'm thinking is, like, oh, would that have stopped me from using in the pandemic? Hells no.
Yeah.
Like, but am I thinking, like, oh, I don't know, would having a conversation like that maybe have made our friendship a bit more,
I think it would have made our friendship closer.
Because we didn't really talk for a lot. We yeah. didn't see each other for years
yeah.
during the pandemic. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe it would make me stay away from you, though. I don't know. But I don't think so. But I think it's like...
No, I literally remember calling you at some point in 2020, like, during the first lockdown, and you being like, what's up? Like, why are you ringing me? And I was like, I'm checking in on you. But this is also where it comes back yeah. to even the 20-year-old resentment, I guess.
That we had that relationship.
That we could call each other.
Yeah,
no. We were literally seeing each other, like, every week. We'd known each other since kindergarten. So, I guess it shocks me.
Yeah, I have issues with... So thinking that you, one of my oldest friends, would call me to see how I'm going, I'm like, ah.
This is why I'm saying, like, me and the 20-year-old can be connected.
Yeah.
Because for me, I reach out to my friends because I want to see how they're going. My resentment in the pandemic was that I was like, there are so many people here that I'm reaching out to that are not initiating any reach out to me.
Yeah.
So it was more of becoming a thing of going like, oh, actually, I'm sitting here being like, wow, it must be really hard for us all. And I'm thinking about everyone. And it made me feel like no one's thinking about me. And I know that that's, like, not true. But I'm sure there were lots of people who did think about me and then just didn't reach out.
Yeah.
But it was more of a, like, me calling you to check in on you is as much about me as it is about you.
Obviously.
Because it's also, like, you know, if I have, like, a level of anxiety of, like, or not even anxiety, just, like, I want to talk to my friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I'm sorry I've been really bad at, like, connecting and reaching out with you lately. But, yes, I have been using again.
Yeah. Do you want me to cut that?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, no. I assumed.
Are my parents listening to this?
Oh, shit. We should probably get off the mics. Okay. I might need to add in, like, this is me talking to my friend Laura Sabine.
Yeah. That is so podcast. Your voice is, like, so good.
Right. Yeah. Now. One sec. This episode of the Disappointing Friend podcast was recorded at the State Library of Victoria. So what is it called? State Library of Victoria? That one was bad. I got nervous.
Right near the children's toilets.
Oh, love you. All right. Should we turn it off?
Yeah. Fun.
Thanks for listening, besties. I know this one was a bit tender and a little bit heavy at times, so if it brought anything up for you and you're needing support, please reach out. Here are some resources that could help. Lifeline is a 24/7 crisis support available in Australia on 131114. The Butterfly Foundation offer eating disorder support on 1-800-334673. The Alcohol and Drug Foundation are available on 1-300-858584. And Beyond Blue are available for anxiety, depression, and mental health discussions. 1-300-224636. Thanks, babes. Love ya.
Because if you're not going to talk about her, who gives a shit what she's going to do? Serve your cease and desist? What is the problem? Other than it's a little ox.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm going to talk about it constantly.